Of course, when I select my text for today, I didn't know that on our bulletin this would be the verse that they chose to display. In John chapter 15 and verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And as we come to this weekend and we remember those who in the history of this country whose lives have been taken to defend this country, we remember these that have meant so much to our security and our freedom. And let us, as a body of believers gathered here today, remember their sacrifice. Their dreams ended. Their hopes ended. Their plans all ended when they took a weapon and a uniform and went out to face the enemies of this country so that we would be safe, so we could have plans, so we could have dreams, so we could have hopes. It cost somebody else their very life. That's disturbing to me. And we can be so easily just overlooked. They died so I could live, so I could have a family, so I could enjoy life. They died. This weekend we remember these many, many men and women whose lives perished in battle. This Memorial Day Monday has been set aside for all of us to reflect upon the cost of our freedom. Freedom is costly. We could not gather here today if it were not for our soldiers, even this hour. Did you know that? Did you know if all of our soldiers vacated their post, we'd have all kind of enemies attacking us? They would. They'd be attacking us. We would be constrained in what we could do or where we could go if our enemies had defeated us sometime in the past. We as a nation are who we are because of so many who gave themselves to defeat our enemies. Think about just in recent years how Japan, what a war-hungry country they were. And they attacked us and killed so many soldiers. And what it took to finally to stop them, we had to just about annihilate two of their cities with atom bombs, where tens of thousands of their own people were killed to get their attention. It took that to get their attention. Our enemy is something else, folks. Freedom-loving people have enemies. People come over here and from other countries, and every one of them says, this is the best country there is in the world. And we got a lot of problems, haven't we? But they still say, this is the best country in the world. Why? Well, they think about the freedom and all the blessings, but it's Christianity that made it this way. Christianity made it this way. Well, take it a step higher, God, through Christianity. But y'all know what I'm saying. Christianity, the work of God, made it this way. Dictators, tyrants, madmen, God-hating men are ever attempting to rule and control as many people as they possibly can. We're so hated by Iran today, by Russia today, by North Korea today, probably China too, and many others. We're so hated, and the only thing holding them back in their eyes is our army and our weapons. But the truth be told, it's our God holding them back. Truth be told, it's Christianity God is using to hold them back. And the less and less Christians there be and that's living right, the less and less security there be. You can see it in the history of Israel in these lessons Brother Chavis is starting to bring. When they went away from the Lord, the enemy come in. When they were living for the Lord, the enemy didn't have a chance. The same thing is true today, folks. The reason we got so many problems in our country today is Christian people ain't living right. That's simple, plain and simple. Christian people ain't living right. That's the reason drug problems are such an issue today. Crime is such an issue today. Christian people's not living right. The church has no testimony today. That's truth be told, amen? Thank God for our Army, our Navy, our Marines, our Air Force, our National Guard and Coast Guard. Thank God we got such to keep our enemies at bay. But that's just God's way of doing it. God don't need a one of them. These men and women stand between our enemies and our homeland today. Most of them are hardly mentioned. And this is sad. When they lose their life, they're hardly even mentioned. And yet their life is gone to keep me safe, you safe. It's sad it has to be that way, isn't it? You die so I can live. Why am I so important? Why are you so important? They got to die so you can live. We're no better. All I can say is this is God's sovereign plan working out. That's all I can say. And you know, if it's that way, what that means? It means more responsibility on me. To whom much is given, much will be required. But what greater citizens do we have than those who stand ready to die so we as a country can enjoy our freedom? It's a wonder that anybody wants to take on a uniform, ain't it? And the way our army is treated today. I mean, they even having problem praying. And with the chaplains. It's a wonder we have anybody even want to be in the Army or the Navy or Marines, etc. Because they're not supported like they ought to be supported. Their pay is low. especially the low grade guys, their health care is nobody talks about how good it is. We ought to pause and stop and remember who gave us this opportunity to be here today. It's the soldiers that's died. Think of how comfortable you are today. You're not sitting here afraid somebody's going to come in and shoot you. We have peace, don't we? We can sit here today and our minds can think about the one that really loves us so much, that made this all possible by using someone else. But there's an even greater sacrifice that's been offered for our freedom. Our soldiers can only protect our physical life, our natural life. That's their job. But there's a sacrifice at Calvary to save us who we really are, our soul and our spirits. Now you talk about a real sacrifice. And think about who that sacrifice was. Men have died on the battlefields, but they were men who were sinners. Or they might have been saved, but they're sinners. But the one that died to save my soul was holy. It took a holy one to save my soul. It took a sinless one to save my soul. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost in Matthew 18:11. How many people do you suppose today is worrying about their lost? People used to be concerned about being lost. I need to get saved, I used to hear people say. I hadn't heard that so long, I forgot the term. The Son of Man came to bring salvation for our souls. It's available for every soul. Our soul and spirit is eternal. This fleshly life is only temporal. The promise is only 70 years. A lot of folks never get that because of their own disobedience most of the time. Most people do not want to acknowledge that they are spiritually lost. Do you think people think in terms of that today? I'm lost. Most people do not want to admit, I need a Savior. Let me ask you today, do you feel like you need a Savior? Why do you need a Savior? Amen. But our society don't feel like that, does it? Most people cannot believe that one day they will go to hell. Most people don't believe that. Yet most people will go to hell because they went by their own choice. They went to hell not because God didn't love them. Not because God didn't provide them a Savior, but they went because they didn't want to be saved. They didn't want to live for the Lord. They wanted to live, do what they wanted to do, the way they wanted to do. How foolish can people be to choose to go to hell rather than repent of their sin and go to heaven? How foolish. For a moment of sin pleasure, to spend it in eternity in hell when they could humble themselves, trust Christ, and live forever in paradise. The Bible says at the right hand of God, there's pleasures forevermore. Everybody today, this weekend, is looking for pleasure. Everybody wants to have a good time. We're going to go where we can have a good time. But at the right hand of God, there's pleasures all the time. Amen. I'm having a good time today. I'm as happy today as a monkey in a banana factory. Amen. I'm as satisfied. I don't have to go anywhere but to the appointed place at the appointed time. If we did not have our armed services, we would be defeated by our enemies before we knew it. They're just afraid of what the repercussions would be if they made an attack. We would be a nation enslaved to cruel and evil people. They would drain us of our wealth, our strength, our freedom, take our Bibles, close our churches, and make us work for them if we survived. They'd do it in a heartbeat, folks. You would be surprised. You would be shocked at in the own the countries of our enemies. Many of their own people are enslaved, working for nearly nothing. Think about people like that. Who makes one person more important than another person? Who made someone better than you? And who thinks someone is better than you? The devil has that kind of philosophy. On the other hand, Jesus Christ has come to save us because we're lost. God tells us we're lost. And we're headed for eternal destruction. And God is trying to save us. God is trying to help us. But we're running as a people as hard as we can the other way, ain't we? We're trying to get away from God. God, don't interfere with me. You know what? After a while, He will quit interfering. And let you go the way you're headed. He's doing it every day. There's only one man who loved us this much. This one man died. This one man did not need an army. This man did not need any weapons. This man's motive was love for each and every one of us. This man did not come to hurt or harm anyone, but to make men whole. The truth is, it is the Lord who makes our armed forces deter the enemies of our nation. It's the Lord that's over it all. He just uses people. And we'd better not just trust our military to keep us safe. God never uses the biggest army to win battles. God always uses a small army many times. Remember little David? A little lad. He was a lad. And took, we called it a juvember. The Bible calls it a sling. And he slung a little stone and a 10-foot man was struck between the eyes. And down he went. Think about a lad, maybe a little fearful, running out to meet somebody like that in a battle against someone that hated him and his people so much. But God used that little lad and that sling against this big giant. God is in control, folks. We've got to learn to trust God. As Dr. Stanley said, we've got to listen. Listen to this book. Trust the one it tells us to trust and obey him. God can do great things in each of our lives if we listen, trust, and obey. We better not trust our military to keep us safe. We better be trusting in a higher power. It's actually God. He may use our armed forces, but in reality, he does not need it since his arsenal is greater and more potent. God can use a tornado, a hurricane, hail. In the book of Revelation, it talks about hail coming down in the tribulation time, weighing from 88 to 100-pound chunks of ice falling out of heaven. Now, you think about 88 to 100-pound blocks of ice falling out of heaven on this building, how long this building would last. It wouldn't last no time. After the first dump, that would be the building. God can use hail. He can use lightning. Oh my, the power in a bolt of lightning. He can use floods. We studied about that today. He can use plagues or famine to literally destroy all he desires to destroy. God is God. Hey, and besides that, you know what else he can do? Just speak. Just speak. He's an awesome God, and he loves us, and we're here to worship him and to praise him and to thank him and to love him and to enjoy him today. Praise God. Plus, he can cause the sun to stand still so Israel could win a battle. Remember that in the Bible? They needed some more time for the army to win, so God caused the sun just to stand still. And God opened up the Red Sea so Israel could escape the Egyptians. Opened up the sea so 3 or 4 million people could walk through it on dry land. And then when they got through and the enemy came in at the right moment, somehow the waters came rushing down. God can, he calls an army of 185,000 Assyrians who was planning on destroying Israel the next day. They didn't wake up the next morning. 185,000! God enabled one man to kill 1,000 enemy with the jawbone of a donkey. That's phenomenal. To take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men. One man. I don't care if he is Samson. He's still, that's still a job. God caused the walls of Jericho to come falling down after the army just walked around the building. Amen? They just walked around it, and the walls come tumbling down. Listen. Trust. Obey. What a God, what an awesome God we got, folks. God calls, Jesus Christ came to save the dead, though. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, one of my favorite verses. Jesus Christ came to save the dead. We were spiritually dead. Sin has separated us from God, the Bible says. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Man is spiritually dead that very moment. Adam 8. We came into this world spiritually dead, and we are going to physically die. It's appointed. Sin has slew the entire human family. We are dead in sin, and you can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. Technology can't do anything about it. You can't take a pill and do anything about it. We're dead spiritually. There's not one person in all the world who accepts God. Not one. The Bible says it's not a righteous man. Sin has condemned all of us, even me and you. But the Bible says God committed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, going against God, disobeying God, not listening to God, rebelling against God, Christ died for us. Christ died for such a race of people, those whose hearts are desperately wicked. Christ died for us. This is how God gave life to the dead. He did so by Jesus dying in our place. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt of the entire world. Isn't that awesome? He paid my sin debt. He paid your sin debt. So that if you'll accept him, you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be given eternal life. Free! But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:12-14 states. We've already gone over that in our bulletin this morning. It was such an appropriate scripture for today. God's love did not save us. Did you hear me? God's love don't save people. People think they're going to heaven because God loves them. No, they're not. God's mercy could not save us. God's not saving us by His mercy. And the Bible says He's rich in mercy. He's great in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. But He's not saving us by mercy. God is saving us by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is the gift of God. The word grace means we don't deserve to be saved. There's nothing in us God sees that God wants. Because we are sinners and He can't accept us. So He has to make us a new person. And that's why you got to be regenerated. You got to be born again. You got to become a new creature to be acceptable to God. God saves by grace. We didn't deserve to be saved. We didn't deserve to be made new. But God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave the ultimate supreme sacrifice that can save us from our sin and give us eternal life to live in heaven forever if we will repent. That is, if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, God's graciousness, if we are willing to see ourselves, acknowledge our sin, and trust Christ. God gave us peace. God gave us peace through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, peace with God. We're no longer God's enemy. Once we were the enemy of God till we got saved. How much chance do you think you have against God if you're His enemy? You don't have a chance. You can have peace with God by repenting of sin, accepting Christ. You can make peace with God through Christ. How many nations and people long for peace even today? But peace flees so often and quickly. I've read where Russia has over 200 peace treaties with nations. Over 200. And she's broke every one of them. You can make a peace treaty with a nation. That don't mean it's secure. But if you have peace with God, it's secure. It's forever. Amen? Amen? John addressed this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In Matthew 24:6, Jesus said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Boy, just in my lifetime, how many the wars and the skirmishes that I've heard about. And at the same time, even today, we're on the brink of so many, in so many places with war today. It could break out any time with some of the nations that despise us. The prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 8:11, For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's not going to be any peace in this world. We're always going to have some conflicts. We may have one with your neighbor. You may have it in your own family. Sometimes it's our own spouse. We can have peace with God. He can change our life. And peace with God is eternal, folks. We become His children, not His enemy. Only Jesus can give peace, peace to the troubled heart. Is your heart troubled today? Jesus is a peace giver. He can comfort hearts and give hope to the troubled. He's a peacemaker. Peace to the sin-tormented soul comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Boy, that's nice, isn't it? "I give it," Jesus said. "I give it unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Trust Christ. Trust Christ. He's a peace giver. He's a hope giver. He's a victory giver. Amen? When Jesus sets up His 1,000-year millennial reign, there's going to be worldwide peace for all the nations. But won't that be something? Think about that. There won't be armies back in those days. The Bible says that the swords or the weapons of war are going to be made into instruments to farm with. Maybe make some Kubotas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not going to be armies when Christ sets up His kingdom. Boy, there's going to be a big change in this world when the Lord kindly comes, puts down all His enemies. My goodness alive, folks. In other words, there will not be armies and weapons to hurt and kill people anymore. Peace, peace, and Jesus can give us peace with God today. Yeah, 1,000 years. Of course, we're told at the end of that, old Satan's going to come along and there's going to be a brief skirmish, but it'll be so brief before the party's over. Amen. Yeah. I don't understand how people can live with the Lord on the earth for 1,000 years and at the end of it rebel against Him. But that's how wicked the human heart is, and deceitful the human heart is. That will actually take place. Folks, there's hope. As we look around today, we see the need for peace because of the hate, the anger, the visions, and the war that's in the world. We see the need for peace. But this is not going to continue. The wicked is going to be defeated and become the footstool of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. I pictured that like Jesus sitting in a big recliner and putting His feet on all of His enemies. He's got them under control. He's defeated them. In Titus 2:13, the Apostle Paul tells Titus of the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. Do you look for that blessed hope today? You know, He could come today. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. What a glorious appearance that's going to be when we see the Lord. What a hallelujah time it's going to be, folks. He's coming. His coming is getting closer. And closer and closer. Did you know 30 minutes ago or so when we started speaking here, he's closer than that now. He's getting closer. Yes, we should thank God for our soldiers of the past and the present. But our security is not in our soldiers. Our security is in God, our Savior. And we must keep serving Him. We must keep loving Him. We must keep looking up because He's coming to get those that believe in Him. So on this Memorial Day weekend, let's remember what it's about that we are remembering. But I tell you, we need to look beyond what our soldiers have did for us and what's become of them. We need to look beyond to the one who loves us more than any soldier ever loved us and who has did more for us than any soldier could ever do for us. We need to look to the one that loves us supremely and whose sacrificial death made us who were dead in our sins and helpless and headed for judgment and hell came and rescued us by died on a cross. And he offers salvation free and gives us eternal life, not just for a moment. But this is awesome, that we who believe in Him are going to live with Him forever. No end to it. And there'll not be any more difficult days. There'll not be any threats of war. There'll be no more enemies. It's going to be eternity living in peace and harmony. And living with the one that could love sinners so much. Hallelujah. What a Savior, folks. What a Savior. Listen. Trust. Obey. I'll copy what Charles Stanley told us last night. I'll share it with you. Listen. Trust. Obey. And no one will regret who does. Loving God, thank you for allowing me to stand here today, Lord. Thank you for the things you've taught me about your word. Thank you for the grace of God that would save us, make us your own. Bless our soldiers. Protect them. Watch over them. Use them. And bless the families of those that have lost loved ones, even in this generation whose hearts are so troubled and hurt because a man or a woman has been killed by the enemy or at the defense of our country. Bless those families. And Lord, thank you that you'd send your only Son into the world to rescue the perishing. We can never praise you enough. Help us to be faithful. Oh, God, we want to be faithful. Lord, we want to please you. Lord, Lord, we want to love you and be used of you. And we pray our prayer in this, our Lord's name. Bless those of our fellowship that's away for a few days. Watch over them and keep them and bring them home safe. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. Maybe if you want to come to the altar today, we'd invite you. You want to trust Christ today? You need to trust Christ today? Today's the day of salvation, the Bible says. Today's the day to get saved. Need to come today to draw nigh to the Lord? Oh, today's the day.